opportunity to get to speak to you, to share God's word with you. He has been great to me, and I tell you, the more things I see him do, the more I fall in love with him. You know, there's a deeper love. I had no clue that the Lord gave me just one word he spoke into my heart when Brother Nathan asked me to fill in for him tonight. And that was sign. That's all he gave me. And I began to dig and look, you know, to see what this sign was. You know, and I tell you, it has been a blessing, a trip for me. And when I got to reading Brother Nathan's blogs, I tell you, at times, Brother Buddy can tell you, I'd call him sometimes, I couldn't even talk. I couldn't tell him about it. I go to crying. It just melted my heart to the ground, you know. But God is alive, folks, and I want you to know that. And there are signs all around us. If we'll just look, by all means. I want to tell y'all tonight, though, tell y'all a little joke before I get started. One time this usher was standing in the church door, and before church ever started, and this little lady come in, and he said, "Sir, where would you like to sit?" And she said, "I want to sit on the front row." He said, "Ma'am," he said, "I don't believe you want to sit on the front row." And she said, "Well, why not?" She said, "Because our preacher will put you to sleep." She said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No, ma'am, I sure don't." She said, "I'm the pastor's mother." He said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Thank God." So tonight, my mom's sitting right there. If you go throwing tomatoes, you're going to answer to her. By all means. You know. But I want to read this to you. Matthew 16, first verse. He said, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven." And the question I have, why did they ask him for a sign? Why did they ask him for a sign? Pray with me. Father, tonight, Lord, hallelujah. Father, I ask your blessings. Lord, I want to be encouragement to my brothers and sisters, Lord. And Father, most of all, I want to bring glory to you. Lord, this is your house, and we're just your children, Lord. And I pray now that you bless us all, Lord. And I pray for your anointing, Lord, for this moment. And we ask these precious things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to go in three places tonight. I'm learning. I've got some pastors to teach me how to do this. And I'm learning. The first area is why did they ask for a sign? My second one is why they didn't see the signs. And my third one is, do we have signs today? Do we have any signs today? I would like for you to go, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis 24 and 14. You know, when the Lord tells us something sometimes, we all like to have confirmation on it that, Lord, this is you telling me this, you know. And I'm one of those very ones I like for the Lord to tell me. But if you look in Genesis 24 and 14, this is where Abraham had sent his servant out to get Isaac a wife, you know. And the reason this was, Christ had to come into the linkage of David and all this. And this is all set up through Abraham, the linkage. And he's setting this up so Christ will come through this linkage. So he sent him back for a wife from his own tribe, from his own kindred. You know, he didn't want him to marry some off the wall lady, you know, but he wanted one from his own tribe, you know, from his own family. But this is what he said. This is what the servant said. He was looking for a wife, and this is what he said. This is chapter 24, verse 14. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. He asked for a sign, didn't he? Really, that's what he asked for. I want to share this with you, something in my life, and this might be out of, I tried to fit this in, but the best way I could do it was right here. Brother Buddy asked me to teach the disciples heart class, and he can tell you, we was walking down that hall right out there. And I said, Brother Buddy, ain't no way. I said, I ain't ready for this. He said, oh, yeah, you are. I said, no, I ain't ready for this. And he kept on. So I said, well, I said, I tell you what, if the Lord makes a way somehow in my work schedule that I can teach the class and it won't affect my work, I said, I'll know the Lord wants me to do this. Now, I never said nothing to Sister Betty. I just told Brother Buddy. And don't be surprised how your answer comes. Don't be surprised how it's going to take place. We were sitting at the banquet, a disciples' heart banquet. Me and Sister Betty sitting at the table together. She's sitting across the table from me. And she said, Brother Lane, she said, let me ask you something. She said, how would it work on Sunday nights for you? I like to melt it in my chair. I said, that would be perfect. I couldn't ask for anything to be any better. I'm off on Sunday nights. Well, I got my confirmation from the Lord, but it come through a fine lady. See, and that's God uses us sometimes to confirm things to each other. And he'll speak right into your life. I knew then God wanted me to. And y'all, it has been a great trip. I have enjoyed the class. It is just a beautiful, beautiful time. And I invite you, if you haven't took it, please come be with me. I'm going to have a blast with you. We're going to have some fun, by all means. All right, I want to go to Exodus 4 and look at 1 through 9. And we're finding signs. We're beginning to see signs taking place, is what we're looking for. Well, if I can find it, y'all probably ahead of me. 4:1-9. This is where Moses, God has told him that he wants him to go lead the children out of Egypt. Well, he's beginning to grumble. He's beginning to say, Lord, well, what, how, they ain't gonna believe me. They not, Lord, how they gonna know you sent me? How they gonna know? Let's listen. Then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Would you, if you had a staff and you laid on the ground and it turned to a serpent, what would you do? I would say, let's kill that thing right now. You know, we need to get rid of that thing right now. But God was showing Moses something, and this is what's beautiful. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by the tail. I wonder why he didn't grab it by the head. He might have got bit, mightn't he? But he didn't. He said, stretch out his hand, and he caught it. And it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, that they may believe the witness of the last sign, but if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Was God giving him some signs? Brother, I tell you what, right today, if we had somebody take a bucket of water and pour it on that ground and turn it into blood, I'd say, boy, Lord's with you. You know, something's going on here. You know? And, all the plagues that followed were all signs that God was giving him. How about when they put the blood on the doorpost? What did the Lord say? He said, I'll pass over you. You know, and all this we're seeing, these signs, is pointing to one great thing, to a deliverance, and it's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, our great deliverer. This, you're going to catch this as we move along, when he's pointing to that moment that Christ comes on this earth. He is the one that's going to deliver us. One thing I found out when I was studying this, do you know nearly every sign that he gives their followers a deliverance? That's amazing. Every sign that God gave, he was delivering his people. By all means. And we like I said, we know the plagues that took place and all. Well, how about parting of the Red Sea? Whew. That's Exodus 14:13. Parting of the Red Sea. Hallelujah. And this is what he said. Let me turn there so I won't mess it up. I'll mess it up sure as the day is long. Oh, I'm in Leviticus. I'm doing good, y'all. Please bear with me. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord when he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." There was a deliverance taking place, wasn't there? There was something happening there. They're seeing God's power. He told Moses, he said, just stick your staff out. And he said, see the salvation of the Lord. And the waters begin to part. You know? And then the cloud went between them. And the cloud that they followed day and night, you know, in the daytime, it went between them and the Egyptians that were after them, that they could not see them. They couldn't find them. While the Lord blew that east wind and dried that ground out so they could cross over. Were they receiving some signs? Folks, things were happening. You know? And we look sometimes, well, Lord, is there any signs? Or are we getting any signs? You know? But all right, now, my first part here is, why did they ask for a sign? They asked for a sign because they knew the Old Testament. They knew God had showed them signs before already. And so they was looking. That's the reason they asked him, well, show us a sign from heaven that you are him. You know, they had all those signs, but they couldn't see what was going on in front of their eyes. Could not see a thing. But I want to show you another. Let's go to Judges 6 and 17. This is Gideon. And look, I just picked out a few folks. There's a lot of them in here. And all. But Gideon is asking the Lord for a sign. And picking up verse 17. So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me." And I want you to notice that every time we see sign, they ask for a sign, you know. And he says, "Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread for an ephod of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour it on the broth." And he did so. Now, I want you to notice something right here in verse 20. He said, "The angel of God." And let's go a little further. We go on 21. I remember that, the angel of God. I want you to see something right here. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. He got his sign. The Lord reached out. The angel of the Lord reached out and touched it with his staff, and it was consumed. He got his sign, didn't he? He asked the Lord for a sign, didn't he? How many times do we ever ask the Lord for a sign? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But there's signs all around me. I ought not ask so much. There's signs all around me taking place. I watch you change. I watch your home grow closer. I watch your love for each other grows tighter. You know, and that's the signs we're seeing. We're seeing men's hearts be changed by all means. All right, verse 22. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "At last, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Now, can any of you think a minute what he was saying right here? He said, "You shall not die." Doesn't the Bible tell us no man can look on God's face and he shall die? He cannot look directly into the Lord's face. Guess who he saw? He saw Jesus. Thank you, Warren. He saw Jesus in his deity. He saw Jesus in his glorified body. He didn't see him in the flesh. He saw him in the spirit, the angel of the Lord. So when the Bible talks about the angel, not angels of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, he's talking about Jesus Christ. That's who he is. You know. Then Gideon built an altar. But I want to jump on down. Let's go to verse 36. Gideon's asking again. Then Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece and let there be dew on all the ground. God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece and dew was all on all the ground. How many times do we ask God, Lord, just one more time. Speak to my heart one more time. This is what you want me to do. You sure this is what you want me to do, Lord? You know, I'm going to tell off on myself. Brother Buddy told me one time, he said, a preacher preaches his life most of the time. He preaches his life. And when the Lord started working on me and changing my heart into the ministry, to work into this ministry, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I thought I was just loving people. I thought I was just helping people. I didn't know nothing else. All I need to do was love you. Just reach out and love you. Then Shelly sitting right there. Laura began to open doors I didn't know nothing about. She come to me and she says, I want you to marry me and Marty. I said, Shelly, I can't. I don't have my license, babe. You know, I just brushed it off. Didn't think nothing else about it. We was at a funeral. And when she come by to shake my hand, she says, she said, I want you to marry us. And I said, Shelly, I can't, man. She said, we got about 2 months to get your license. Well, the Lord started working on me then. He finally got my attention. And Brother Buddy had shared with me one time before. He said, everybody's going to see what God's doing in your life before you ever realize what's going on. And I've had several of you tell me, you have witnessed to me, you've helped me, you've done this. And I didn't know. I didn't know a thing about it. But God knew what he was doing. Well, I come in one evening, getting ready for the Simon's Heart class. Brother Nathan was in there stretched out on his couch. And boy, that's a comfortable couch he's got in there. Let me tell you, if you ever get the opportunity in there with him, lay down on that couch. Boy, it's pretty nice. But anyway, he was laying down. I come in. And I said, Brother Nathan, I got a question. I said, I just want to know. I said, I don't know nothing about this. I don't know how to go about this. I don't know nothing about nothing. I said, what is the process of a person getting their license? He was laying down on that couch. He raised up and he looked at me. He said, man, he said, you know, this is my peculiar thing. I said, what do you mean? He said, me and Mom and Dad was just talking about you. Said, it's time to set you forth. You see how God's timing is perfect? God's timing is just right. I had no idea. You know, and did you ever holler and tell you I'm a super rev? Hey, I hope you always look at me as just lame. I hope you give God the glory. If there's anything good comes out of me, it's from Him. It ain't a whole lot to me. But boy, I know the King, and I'm a child of the King, and He knows everything, and I can go to Him and ask Him anything. He's my Father. Hallelujah, I can go to Him. But this is what life is about. You know, sharing. I shared this with Brother Buddy the other day. I said, Brother, there's some strange things happening to me. And I said, you know, when I see our people get blessed, I said, maybe this is part of the ministry. I don't know. I said, it's all new to me. But I said, when I see the Lord bless you, each one of you, I said, there rises a joy up in my heart. There's something, I don't understand it. And it makes me happy. I see you blessed. I see you love your children. I see your families grow close together. I see us, our relationships grow closer together. And boy, my heart just bubbles over with life. You know, this is Christ living, folks. Hey, do you know what this is? I've been talking about a sign. Where does it touch me at? Right there, brother. Right in the heart, by all means. By all means. All right, our second part is why they didn't see the signs. And let's go to Matthew 1 and look at something. 1:23. You know what their problem was? They couldn't read the road signs. You know, if I sent you off on a journey, I said, I want you to go to Baton Rouge for me. You've never been there before. I said, it's on 165. Just go down 165. You're going right into Baton Rouge. Ain't no problem. Just go that way. You know? If it didn't have a road sign up there, you couldn't find it, could you? But there's a road sign ever so often that's saying this is the way to Baton Rouge. All right. We got all kind of prophecies. They were road signs telling the Messiah was coming. But they could not read them because they were satisfied who they were. I've got heaven made because I'm a Jew. I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm a descendant of Moses. Oh, no. They missed the signs. There's many of them. They couldn't see one, what was happening, what was taking place. Let's look at 23. He said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. If you want to look, Isaiah 7:14, that's what he says. Exactly what's quoted right there. Isaiah quoted. Now, they prided themselves in knowing the Old Testament. They prided, man, hey, we know this thing. We are the great priests. We are the high ones. We're the scholars, man. I know what I'm doing. You know, you got a question, come to me. But they couldn't read these signs. And there's many of them. There's not just a few of them. All right, let's look at Matthew 24:17. No, hold it. I'm sorry. Wait, I jumped. Matthew 2:1-4. He said, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, the king, Magi from the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Yet, listen to this now. This is gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now how did they know that? But they couldn't find the Messiah. They wanted to understand what they wanted to understand. And it's the same way with us today. When you pick this up and read it, don't pick it up to make it think what you want it to say. You let it speak life into your heart. You let it live. Because this book, I don't care where you start at. I took a class with Brother Nathan, the Old Testament survey. Lord, I said, Brother Nathan, I got to take this class again. Ain't no way I can catch all this at one time. But one thing I learned, you can start in the book of Genesis and go to Revelation, and it's about one person, Jesus Christ. It's a plan of salvation for me and you to make it out of this world, to make it out of here, that we can go to heaven and be with our Lord. That's what he's prepared for us. Hell wasn't prepared for us. Hell was prepared for Satan and his demons, not me and you. Hell was not prepared for one flesh, not one person. But because we won't look for him, we miss him. But he's in the book. I'm telling you, look for him. Look for him by all means. He is there. You know, it's amazing to me, these wise men, these magi, they come looking for him. They seen the star. And in Numbers 24:17, he reflects to that. It's amazing to me that they say these guys was astrologers. They watched the stars and all that. But they knew something. They was looking for something. Look at 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. They were looking for something. You know, all of a sudden, as they are there looking at the stars, when they're gazing, looking at the stars, they see a new star in heaven. They see a brand new star. How about the shepherd men on the hill? They was watching the sheep, and the angel appears to them, and he says, good tidings to you. You know, great joy. The Messiah has been born to you this day. There was another sign. Now, the thing that amazed me was why they didn't see the signs. Didn't the king just call them all together? He called them all together. And he said, where is this babe born? Where is this king? Where is he at? Well, this news spread abroad. How about, I guarantee you, when those wise men left, man, that was a talk of the town. You know, the wise men come looking for the king. They come looking for the man-child, the king of the Jews. They come looking. How about the poor fellows out there on the hillside taking care of the sheep? You think they kept their mouths shut? They went to see him. They went to look for him. And I guarantee you, out in those fields, they were talking. The news was being shared abroad. But here the scribes and the Pharisees could not see a thing. Not all of them. A lot of them seen. But most of them did not know who he was. And if they had the road signs up, they were laid out for him already. They couldn't see the miracles that Jesus was doing. The blind were receiving their sight. It had never been done before. The lame were getting up and walking. They couldn't see a thing. Well, how about us today? Are you looking for a sign or looking for the sign giver? Let's look for the sign giver. The signs will follow. That's what his word says. He says, the signs will follow. Look for the sign giver. And his name is Jesus. Because what he's going to do, he's going to set you free. The greatest sign we have today is the cross. And we all have to go to that cross to meet him. We all have to go and lay our will up on that cross and let it die and let Jesus' will begin to live in us. You know, but you know what he's come to do? He's come to deliver us just like he did when Moses led them out of Egypt. He come to take you from darkness to light. He come to give you life, you know, that you could experience everything that he was. It's like I say, you know, I think of this analogy. It's like when you first get married. And us guys, I'm going to talk for us guys because I know how us guys feel. Now, maybe you women fall in love with us because we're so beautiful. I don't know. But anyway, most of the time we fall in love with how you look and how you're shaped. I'm being honest with you. But guess what? As time goes on, that's why you forget that. You begin to love that person. And I hate to say this, but I'm being honest with you. It takes most men anywhere from 30 to 40 years old before they realize this. It's the truth. Now, if you love the Lord, I didn't love the Lord when I was until 30 when the Lord got me, but I didn't know the Lord. Maybe if you love the Lord and you're young like that, maybe it just happens that way. I don't know. But it didn't happen that way with me. You know, I fell in love with a beautiful face, but then I fell in love with a person. And that's what God wants us to do. And this is what happens. As the years go on, you get closer and closer to your wife. And guess what happens with you and the Lord? As he begins to do things in your life, you get closer and closer to the Lord. The more you fall in love with him, a deeper love. And there's a joy that rises up in you. Hallelujah. How can I walk through the midst of life's troubles that they give us, and I got a smile on my face. Somebody said, how you doing, Brother Lane? I said, man, if it got any better, I think it's two of me. Have I ever told any of y'all that? You know? And Lord knows it couldn't be two of me. He can stand two of me. But, you know, it just gets richer and richer as life goes on. Do we have any signs today? And I'm going to try to wind up here. I don't have any idea how long I've been. I hope I ain't held y'all too long. I want you to go to Isaiah 55 with me. Would it be all right with you if I read the whole chapter? It's not very long. It's like 13 verses, I believe. Isaiah 55. Would that be all right? Would it be? I got this. When I first read this, where the Lord got my attention was the last verse, but then he wouldn't let me stop there. He made me read the first of it. He says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" Whew, I'd say, America, you in trouble. Boy, I sure like to have a new bass boat. And I'm not against anybody having a new bass boat. Please don't misunderstand me. But the true thing is, where are we spending our money? Are we spending our money to help God spread the gospel around the world? Let me tell you something, folks, God's in control. Can I share something with you right quick? I got a birthday present yesterday you wouldn't believe. I shared this with Brother Buddy. We're going to Mexico here in a couple of weeks. And financially, it was going to kind of bind me a little bit. But I could handle it, though. Wasn't no problem. I was going. Nobody knew nothing about it. I'm going, bro. I get a check in the mail. The other night, I left home and I stopped by to check the mailbox. I didn't get the mail that day, so when I was going to work, I stopped and got the mail. In the mail, I had a letter in there from State Farm. Didn't have no idea what was in it. So I threw it in the seat, went on to work. Worked at night, I come home that morning. I get to the house, and I said, "Well, I wonder what this State Farm deal is about." I had insurance with them year before last. I opened the letter, and I like to fell out. I had a $1,300 check put in my hands. They overpaid me. They messed my account up, and I overpaid them $267. They repaid me that back, plus the interest, plus $1,000. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The first thing I thought, this is a hoax. This cannot be. How in the world can this be? The Lord's in my heart. He said, "Can you take a gift from me?" I said, "Lord, thank you. Hallelujah." Folks, we're going to have a good time on that trip because I'm going to be as free as a bird. I ain't worried about coming back. I ain't worried about what it's going to cost. I ain't worried about nothing. But that's the way God does it. That's just the way the Lord does it. You know, I didn't know how I was going to recover from this. I didn't have no idea. But let me tell you something. God's in control. And I got a father that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Owns all the gold in the world and all the silver in the world. And I'll guarantee you this. I won't do without one thing. I might miss my wants, but I won't do without anything that's going to prosper me towards the work of God. Not one thing. Not one thing. All right, let me pick back up. I'm rambling on y'all. I'm sorry. He says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found." Folks, this is it. "Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Hallelujah. What beautiful words. Lord said, "Just come on back to me. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to love you." I think of the prodigal son when Brother Nathan preached that message on the father's side. The father was looking for him to come through those doors. He had been looking for him to come. What kind of love? What kind of love? Share one other thing with you, and I'm going to finish reading this. Lord taught me something through my son when he was 5 years old, and he taught me this 2 years ago. God will take you a lot of times through your past, things that have surpassed, and he'll show you something about himself. We were on a camping trip Well, we went up there to clean the camp up. We had found this camp. And my son, Courtney, and Daniel was 5 years old. And that didn't put me too old like I am now. But anyway, where the camp was at, there was a sand bed right there where we turned off the road going into the camp. Wasn't here to that corner of that wall back in, off the road. But it was growed up. You couldn't hardly see the old camp. Well, them boys wanted to play in that sand out there. So Lynn's wife was with us, Sybil, and I said, well, take them out there, Sybil, and let them play in that sand. And we was cleaning the old camp up. We wiping in and doing in a building and everything you can imagine, you know. And about dinner, I told Sybil, I said, Roger, get the boys and we'll make some sandwiches and drink a Coke, you know. See what that. She goes out there, they ain't there. She come back all beside herself, just hysterical. And I told Lynn, I said, let's go down here and I'll try to make this short. I said, let's go down here and see if we find him. And we went around. I went down one road. He went another and all this around. But anyway, we couldn't find him. And I told him, I said, go get your truck. And I says, come on, let's go down the road. Them boys got to be down this road somewhere. I done begin to get excited. I done begin to get nervous. We jump in the truck. And we ride down the road about a half a mile. Now they both are on the side of the road. Hallelujah, Lord. And they were crying their eyes out. You know what we've done like two young, stupid nuts? We jump out of the truck. I grab Courtney by the arm. Lynn grabs Daniel. And we wear their behinds out. Didn't I tell you not to leave that sand by? Didn't I tell you not to do this? Didn't I tell you not to do that? And I never forget when he looked up at me and he said, Daddy, he said, I was just trying to find you. Let me tell you something. God showed me something 2 years ago. It never dawned on me until then. He said, I didn't whip you. He said, when you started looking for me, I called you and you began to look for me. When I put my arms around you, I never whipped you. I never laid a stick on you. Never spanked you. You was glad you were found. He said, them boys were glad you was found. He said, you don't have to tell the world they're sinning. They know they're sinning. He said, what I want you to do is love them. All I want you to do is love them. They know already they're sinning. They know what they're doing is wrong. Ain't nobody got to tell them. Put your arm around them and love them. You want to win your kids? Don't get me wrong. I'll be the first one to tell you. I believe in spanking a child. When he's wrong, he's wrong. And I'm not talking about beating a child. Don't get me wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. There's a connection from this right here to this right here. I'm sorry. I'm telling you the truth. My daddy one time when my grandmother died, he was sitting on the front doorsteps and he was crying. And I walked up. I said, Daddy, what are you crying for? My daddy never cried. I never seen my daddy cry before. It tore my heart up. He said, son, I was too rough on you. He said, I give you spankings you should have never got. I said, Daddy, let me tell you one thing. I said, every spanking I got, I deserved. And I said, if you knew half the other stuff I'd done, you'd half kill me. You know? And I'm telling you the truth. But we don't need to whip up on people. We don't need to kick people. I don't want to be like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Hey, I'm Christian Challenger, brother, and I got heaven made. You out there, you going to church somewhere else, you lost. Oh, no. We don't teach that. We don't preach that. And I thank God that he broke that off of my neck. Broke that yoke. I'm not enslaved to that no more. No more. Well, guess what Jesus come to do? Break all those old yokes and that slavery off of you that you can become a slave for him, that he can get the work done. Folks, he's coming. Our time is growing short. It don't take a rocket scientist to look around and see the times. He is coming. And I want to share this with you, and I'm going to close. When Nathan wrote this blog, I tell you, I couldn't do it, sit down and cry and thank the Lord. I just shouted, God, you're so good. I'm so blind, I can't see what you're doing around the world. You're doing so many things I can't understand. I had no idea what this trip was going to fit into this message. God had done begin to work in my heart and do things in my heart I couldn't understand. I sat down and I printed it out. I began to read it. And Lord have mercy. And let me pick up here. I wanted to let you know, about a change in our schedules and to ask for your prayers. Brother Nathan, if you get to watch this, brother, I love you. And I thank you what you and Brother Patrick have done. I thank the Lord in your life. He said, we ask for your prayers. As you know, our original plans were to include Pakistan in our trip. Then there were some uncertain about safety. The Red Mesquite, I guess you would pronounce that, incident. So we decided to go to Pakistan rather than bring the Pakistan brothers to Nepal. However, y'all, when I read this part right here, I'm fixing to read to you. The Lord already touched my heart and he told me, he says, I'm going to confirm this. I ain't even read the rest of it. God done started blessing me. I said, Lord, I knew they was fixing to go to Pakistan. Let me tell you something. The devil will throw a roadblock in your life, but don't worry. If it's in God's plans, he's going to remove the roadblock. He's going to take care of it. However, last night I had a dream that the safety situation had ended. Didn't the Lord say he'd speak to us in dreams? He sure did, didn't he? He said, however, last night I had a dream that the safety situation had ended. And Patrick and I had traveled to Pakistan with the brothers for one day, two nights, to purchase the equipment. And then we had returned to India for the conference with the brothers. The dream was so strong, I shared it with Patrick as soon as we both awoke. Later in the morning, when I walked downstairs, I saw the huge headline proclaiming the end of the standoff at the Red Mosque and the return to peace. Although this incident was in the capital city several hundred miles away, that had been the principal's concern. The fact that I had dreamed the situation had ended, and then to find out the next morning, I did seem to be the Lord's leading for us to go to Pakistan to institute the CSC, Christians Sharing Christ, film ministry. We gathered with the brothers and decided to put something of a fleece. Woo, hallelujah, Lord, you're so good. Before the Lord. Last minute, travel down here is very difficult. Reservations have to be made weeks and months in advance. Our schedule would only allow a very specific alteration. We prayed together and agreed that if two specific flights were available to take us to and from Lahore, is that right, Lahore? We would take that as confirmation. Everyone felt peace about it, and we headed to the airline office. Now listen. You want to see God's hand at work? You want to see God's hand work in your life? Begin to trust Him. Just begin to trust Him, and you're going to see His hand in your life. You guessed it. Every other flight is full and booked to capacity, but these two flights, the two that would work for us, have vacancy. Obviously, the Lord is up to something, so we purchased the tickets. Woo! Hallelujah. I tell you, y'all don't know the church I had in that office. Man, I said, Lord, you are so good. You're so good. Help us to see, Lord. Help us to leave. These blogs has blessed me so much. It has tendered my heart so much and humbled me to, Lord, do in me what you want. When you read them, take time to pull them up on your computer screen and read them. Folks, we're a spoiled bunch of people in America. And thank God for it. I thank God for our air conditioners. Thank God for automobiles we ride around in. Thank God for our PA systems and all this stuff. But here's them brothers tell their stories of walking, toting this equipment, not riding in a car. Holding it to their next stop. And I'm not talking 15, 20 miles down the road. Maybe 50. And they packed them on their back. And I want to share this with you. This blessed me so much. And I'm going to quit. I done told you I was going to quit. I'm going to quit. One of the towns they come into when they got the Indian brothers there. And they was having their little conference. And they was giving their testimonies. Two of the brothers got up, and one was, they had come into this little town, and If I get off course, they better help me, Brother Buddy. I know you've read them all. But when they walked into town, this little boy run up to him. Are you the man sent from God? Am I right? Is that what it stated? I'm trying to remember correctly. Is that right? Are you the two men sent from God? And I don't forgot what the response was, yeah, or whatever. Somehow or another, it was, yeah, you know, we are. And they said, how do you know? He said, I ain't got time. Follow me. Follow me. And the little boy took off running. Down through the streets, round, zoom. He's a throwing dirt, you know. And they followed him. They chasing him. They get there. And when they walk in the door, his mother's sitting there. And she had been possessed with a demon for 15 years. And they began to pray for her in the name of Jesus. And they watched the demon leave out of her. Then they asked the little boy, said, how did you know we were coming? He said, the demon told me y'all were coming. He said, he told me, two men coming from God, that's going to irritate me. And the little boy went to the Lord. He went to the two men that God had sent. Let me tell you something, folks. God is wanting to deliver a bunch of people in this world from their slavery and their heartaches. He's wanting to put homes back together. He's wanting to heal your broken heart. But guess what? Me and you have got to do our part. You want me to tell you something? I'm a sign of one that has been delivered. I have been set free. Hallelujah. You've heard the old saying, the greatest Bible some people ever read is your life. And brother, hallelujah. Look at it, brother. I'm scot free, hallelujah. I'm scot free. Let me show you how I got there. Can I share with you the one that set me free? And folks, they need to see our lives. They need to see how we respond to situations. How do we act in a situation? When someone cusses you, do you cuss him back? You know, you say, brother, I'm not like that. I love it when I walk in somewhere and I'm talking with somebody and I walk up to the counter and they say, man, you're a Christian. I said, what? He said, it's wrote all over you. Man, hallelujah. It's all over you. I can't see it, but everybody else can see it. You know how I know I am? Because he's living in here. He has this heart. He has me. He has changed me. He's given me a new attitude. I don't think like I used to think. Wasn't that what he said a while ago in Isaiah 55? I don't think like I don't think that no more. But I didn't finish that, did I? Please forgive me. I got to get to the end of this. Please forgive me. I got to get to the end of this. Let's pick up verse 8. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and make it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Hallelujah. Praise God. If it's anything to shout about, hallelujah. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for what I sent it. Guess what? Brother Nathan, Brother Patrick went to Pakistan, Nepal, and the Philippines and India for a reason. God had something for them to do. And let me tell you something. He wanted his word taken into Pakistan. Yes. He wanted his film ministry started. And brother, he opened the doors. He moved everything out of the way. He took that big arm and just shoved it out of the way. He said, now go in, boys. The peace is with you. And they knew when the end was over because the peace began to leave them. You know what God's saying? He said, you finished what I wanted you to do. Now let's go home. I have set forth, my word has been set forth now. Come on, let's go home. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Hallelujah. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees in the field will clap their hands. What was going on, folks, on that trip? God was in it all the way. He was opening doors for them that no way it could be done but through the Lord. He was opening things. All right, now here is the point I want to get to. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the middle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting, what? Sign. Which will not be cut off. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about our hearts being changed. He's talking about people being changed. He said that is the memorial that will never go away. That will always stand. Look to him. Let him change these lives. Let you become fruitful. By all means. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much. God, you're so good. Lord, sometimes I feel so that I don't know nothing, Lord. But Father, I know you, the one that gives all knowledge. Father, I pray that you've blessed my brothers and sisters this evening, Lord. I know I've preached to myself, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word and what it means and how it changes our lives, Lord. And I just thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.